Talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, I'm wearing one of the electrical co-op's hats today, North Fork Electric, the only one I got. Anyway, I just want everybody to thank your power company today, no matter whether it's PSO or one of the co-ops in Oklahoma or in Texas. Just give them a big thank you, because I'm sure with these high winds out there and high gusts today, they'll be out there working. So we want them to be safe and keep our power on. How's that? So anyway, thank you for what you guys do out there. Also, today is Dr. Taylor Mouse's birthday. So if you guys will, next 10, 15 minutes, 20. No need to do it all day, but just next 15 or 20 minutes, call 580-225-0200 and tell them Today in Ag, Jimmy, wanted us to call in and wish her happy birthday, and then we'll see if she kills me later. Anyway, so call and wish her a happy birthday, 225-0200. She'll appreciate it. She's a sweetheart. Anyway, she deserves a little attention today. She's been so busy taking care of people, other people's animals, and stuff like that. It's time she got a little attention. How about that? All right, let's check out some weather. I got a good show in store today. No visitors, but got lots to talk about. We'll talk about grains and crops, and next segment, livestock. And then the USDA report came out on the world supply yesterday. Talk a little bit about that. Coming up in the third segment, I want to talk about trapping coyotes. And we're going to give a big shout out to all of our trappers out there that work for the Wildlife Department and the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. Talk about them, give them a big thank you, and then later on. And then the girls aren't going to be here today, Jill and Jancy. Jancy's got a pep rally. Jill had something going on, but they'll be here tomorrow. So we'll have a cool show tomorrow. Next week we start FFA, celebrating FFA week a week early. We got so many schools in the listening area that want to be a part of the celebration of celebrating FFA, if that makes sense. Anyway, we're going to start early next week. And then the next week actually is National FFA week, so we'll have that going on. Let's see what's going on temperature-wise. Way up there in the panhandle, it's 30 degrees out west there, 33 at Eva, 30 at Boise City, and then 45 at Slapout, just down the road. And then 45 at Perryton, Texas, 45 at Arnett, 46 at Fairview, 50 at Bessie, 50 at Hollis, and 47 at Cheyenne. And we got 50 at Wellington, Texas. So anyway, I have some more forecasts coming up for you later on. Let's see what happened last night after they came out with that report. Soybeans were higher in overnight trading, while grains were mixed as investors digest yesterday's world agriculture supply and demand estimates. Global ending bean stocks for the 22-23 marketing year are now seen at 102.03 million metric tons, down from the 103 that they was expecting. World production is forecast at 383 million metric tons, down from the prior projection of 388 million tons. So that's 5 million tons off. The agency lowered its outlook on the production in Argentina to 41 million tons, down from 45.5. So that's where that 5 million went. Output in Brazil, meanwhile, was estimated at a record 153 million metric tons, unchanged from the January outlook. The USDA's outlook for global corn stockpiles was lowered to 295 million tons, metric tons that is, from 296, so down about 1.3 million. Production in Argentina is expected to be around 47 million tons, and that's down from January from 52 million. So Argentina's drought is what's causing its deal. All right, soybean futures for March delivery overnight rose 10 and 3/4 cents to $15.30 a bushel. On the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal was up 5/10 to $4.87 a short ton, while soy oil was gained 19 cents to $60.77 a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell a quarter of a penny to $6.78 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery was up 3 3/4 cents to $7.68 a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 2 1/4 cents to $8.93 3/4 cents a bushel. Storm warnings. Man, crazy weather we got going on here. I guess Oklahoma City this morning was a total disaster going on around there. Hopefully nobody got hurt too bad. Bad storm. But anyway, parts of northern Missouri, eastern Iowa, northern Illinois, and southern Wisconsin are all facing winter storm warnings and advisories this morning, according to the National Weather Service. I know my brother-in-law called me this morning from Kansas City, and they got 3 to 4 inches of snow there, and it looked like it was going to get some more today. Winter storm warning in effect where Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa all meet through 6 o'clock tonight, according to the National Weather Service. Snow accumulations from 4 to 7 inches are expected, along with gusts up to 35 miles an hour. The surrounding areas also will see winter weather through the day with accumulations up to 4 inches with 45-mile-an-hour wind. High wind warnings will take effect at 9 a.m. this morning. It already is for central Illinois and Indiana. Winds will be sustained from 25 to 35 miles an hour in the region with gusts up to 60 miles an hour. Damaging winds will blow down trees and power lines. Widespread power outages are expected. Travel will be difficult, especially for high-profile vehicles. I knew this morning that I had a tumbleweed outrunning me on Merritt Road going south. It was when that wind hit this morning, it hit with a vengeance. Well, update on the grains right now. It looks like everything is basically in the red today. Before the show started, live cattle and feeder were way up pretty nice, but they're back in the red already. So let's check out what's happening right now. March, corn, 672. May, 670. July, 660. Soybeans for March, $15.17. May, 1509. July, $15 even. Soybean meal, March, $492.30 a short ton. May, $476.60. July is $467.10. Hard bread winter wheat, $8.79 a bushel. It's down 16 already this morning. And May is down 15 at $8.68 a bushel. Oats are down also at $3.81 a bushel for March, $3.70 for May. See what cotton's doing today. Cotton's down just a little bit, not much, but May cotton is 85 cents a pound. March cotton is 85 cents a pound, and May cotton is 86 cents a pound. Sugar is up today. It's at 22 cents a pound for March. May's a little under 20 cents at 19 cents a pound. And nobody still has texted me in a deal where I can follow pineapple futures. No joke. I mean, we're going to have pineapples grown under a pivot over there around Delhi somewhere. I heard rumors northwest of Delhi. But anyway, we need to find out how to follow the futures on it because we want to support our local agriculture community, especially old Sugar Baby, make sure that he's done everything right to grow his first crop of pineapples. Be pretty cool. Oil's down today. West Texas oil is at 77.73 for March. Gasoline is just hanging in there around the 250 mark per thousand cubic feet on that deal. Hey, so when I come back, we'll talk a little bit about cattle and some other things going. There's some late news I've got coming out today that I just didn't have time to talk about during the week. We got a mule deer hunt that I want to talk about in Utah that brought $775,000. And then I think a young lady in Texas set the record again at the Fort Worth Stock Show, and we'll talk about a little bit about that. And anyway, we'll be back in just a second.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Get better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 4th at 12:30 p.m. Selling 84 bulls that have been feed efficiency tested on the GrowSafe system. They got DNA test data, birth, weaning, and yearling data, and ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 4th at 12:30 at a new location. From the Burns Flat Cotton Gin, go 1 mile east and a quarter mile south. Get information at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Once again, good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, February 3rd. 714 head were sold, 4 head of steers at 330, brought 220, 12 at 400, brought 244, 7 at 471, brought 220, 3 at 520, brought 198, 6 at 593, brought 188, 16 at 677, brought 190, 47 at 761, brought 179.50, 5 head of heifers at 358, brought 214, 4 at 438, brought 192, 3 at 483, brought 190, 11 at 538 brought 188, 14 at 586 brought 187, 10 at 677 brought 174, 22 at 720 brought 168.50, butcher cows were 61 to 104, butcher bulls brought 80 to 120, bred cows were 850 to 1500, pairs brought 1350 to 1425. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is February 22nd at 12:30 at the ranch near Leedy, selling 150 two-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, Monin Dakota, Baldridge Alternative, and several other breed-leading AI sires. Also selling commercial females carrying QC Genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale, Wednesday, February 22nd at 12:30 at Quartermaster Creek Ranch, southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Canadian, Texas, you are 45 degrees, wind chills at 37, humidity is 48%. Wind is out of the north at 24 miles an hour with gusts up to 28. Peak wind gusts so far today, 38 miles per hour is the highest. No red flag minutes today, 384 minutes of sub-freezing minutes today, and your soil temperature at 8 inches down is 38 degrees, and that's out of Canadian, Texas. All right, let's see what the... Oh, man. There we go. Sorry. Computer doesn't know where he's operated the direction my brain's going. All right, live cattle for February, 160.85, April's 163.55, June, 159.55, August is 158.67. Feeder cattle for March, 186.70, up a little bit. And then April is 190.85, up a slightly also. Lean hogs for February, they're in the red at 75.90. Also in the red, all of them's in the red, actually. April is 83.65, and May is 93.40. Yesterday at Hover Stockyards, not sure how many they had there, but it looks like the from the 400 to 500 weights, 458 average. High-end was 262.50. 239.11 was average price. 5 to 6 weights. Average weights was 536. 231 was the high end of the $1.97.73 being the average. And then we got the 6 to 7 weights. 660 was the average weights on them. And 183 was the high end. 180.23 was the average price. 7 to 8 weights. $1.74 high end, $1.70.72 was average. And then we got on the heifers, where we make sure I was on the right line there. 2 to 3 weights up to 230. 3 to 4 weights on heifers up to 230, 250. 4 to 5 weights up to $2. And 5 to 6 weights, actually, high end was 203. And 6 weights up to $1.61. And we got cows here. Yeah, butcher cows averaging weights was 1101. 88 was the high end. 82, basically $83 per 100 weight was the average on them. And then bulls, average weight on those was 1653, with $1.16 being the high end, and 105.25 was the average price. I don't know if you guys caught this. If you're on social media, if you're not, I'll help you out here. But on the Oklahoma Mezzanet on Facebook this morning, or a couple hours ago, he posted, here's the latest ENSO data out for today. The trend continues to change for the better for Oklahomans. Data confirms that a neutral ENSO pattern should be in place for the spring and early summer. This should improve our rain chances before the next planting season. How about that? It's good news. Remember, it's a prediction, and he used the word should change. So anyway, but that's all we got to go on. So that's good news out of that deal. And let's see here. All right, Fort Worth. The Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo, it's legendary. We know that. And this year, the show's 106th anniversary. Texas youngster Sadie Wampler, I hope I said that right, made history with her 23 grand champion steer called Snoop Dogg. Anyway, winning the whole thing against 1,500 competitors with her 1,342-pound European cross steer wasn't where the excitement stopped. Her calf was purchased during the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo Auction for a record-breaking $440,000. Let's hang on here with me a second. Should have did this before the show started, but let's see what that averaged out at. $440,000 divided by 1,342. Higher than chickens. That's $5,948. A pound. That's pretty good. That's better than chickens. Anyway, beating the last year's record, it was $310,000. An insurance company, Higginbotham and Associates, and a financial service broker purchased the calf during the sale. It felt like time stopped, she said. I was in a complete disbelief and was in shock. It just all seems like a blur. She's from right out here. She just lives west of here. The 15-year-old exhibitor lives in Canyon, Texas, and is a member of the Randall County 4-H. She is currently a freshman at Wildorado ISD schools and will be working this year as a marketing director for the Wildorado Cattle Company. It's an introduction to the company's Facebook page. Wempler said she has a passion for the cattle industry as a whole and plans to use that passion to better the company. She also says she plans to use the money to earn to attend Texas A&M and pursue a degree in animal science and later veterinarian school. The Fort Worth Stock Show is unique in all that the proceeds raised through the auction goes to support the selling youth. That's cool. The Grand Champion Barrel, not too bad either. $120,000. And his name was Tyrone. And he was exhibited by Brian Fort. And then what else? Let's see. We got Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo is one of the largest shows in the state, one of the largest shows in the world, actually. But it's only open, I think, to the Texans. Has that rodeo and that stock show 1.2 million attendees each year. 23-day event. It's the oldest and largest event in Fort Worth. So how cool was that? Anyway, a couple more things before we go to break. I want to mention this. Coming up next Tuesday at 6:30, February 13th at 6:30, the land grab, 30 by 30, at the City Hall here in Elk City at 320 West 3rd Street. And I see Taylor Mouse is Snapchatting me. She must be thanking me for having everybody call in there down there at the vet's office. Anyway, Oklahoma landowners, this could affect you and your private property rights. National lands are being expanded in some states. This ain't a big, it's just not going everywhere yet, but man, they're getting their foot in the hole. Let's get it started. With boundaries that included private property, this is being done through the National Heritage Areas and other programs. In western Oklahoma, the Chisholm Trail and Great Western Trail have been identified as land to incorporate in the National Park Service trail system. The federal government is implementing a 30 by 30 executive order to incorporate 30% of the land in the United States into federal control by 2030. This ain't no joking. So if you want to learn more about it, you need to go to this meeting. Angel Cushing from Emporia, Kansas will be there speaking about her experience. It's a pretty moving experience. So go to this meeting and then come out of there with your own judgment. How about that? Just show up to the meeting. Find out if you think it's bull or not bull. How about that? It's easy done. So anyway, I'll mention this again probably tomorrow, Monday, because I want everybody to go to this meeting and check it out. And she's a really cool lady, too. So anyway, well, when we get back, we're going to talk about trapping coyotes and giving a big shout out to all the trappers that help farmers and ranchers try to keep things under control the best we can, all can. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day. That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local High Pro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib. Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative NBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite. Simon's Catch Restaurant, offering the elegant beauty of the country with the delicious food of Elk City's finest restaurant. Simon's Catch offers a superb menu, including all-you-can-eat farm-fresh catfish, family recipe shrimp, and USDA choice steaks. Get out of the kitchen and get into Simon's Catch Restaurant. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west. Open Wednesday through Saturday at 5 and Sunday at noon. Simon's Catch, for the best catch.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I've picked the big city of Camargo today to for the Northwestern Oklahoma Long Ranger forecast up there. Man, that, my brain's dead. Can't think of the store there. They cook some bad of the bone hamburgers there. You like that hamburger's a little juice and it melts down, soaks up in your bun. That's the place to get you a good old hamburger cheeseburger. Camargo, currently you're 47 degrees and what else is there? 39 for the wind chill. Sorry, it went blurry on me there. Humidity is 46%. The winds are out of the north at 29 miles an hour with wind gust up to 36. Today, 20% chance of, slight chance of showers, that is, 46. Tonight, rain and snow likely, 60%. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 45. Saturday looks great, 54. And Sunday, 62, winds pick back up, and then Monday, mostly cloudy and 58 degrees. All right, so the fun crowd ain't listening today, so what we're going to do is we are going to call Dr. Mouse and wish her a happy birthday. So bear with me here a second. Right, is this Stockman's Veterinary Clinic?
Yes, it is.
Who's speaking, please?
This is Dr. Mouse.
Dr. Mouse, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Are you having a good birthday?
Yes, sir.
Are you busy?
We have been busy today.
What have you been doing?
Surgeries and vaccinating dogs.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. So this is your 24th birthday today?
I wish it was
24. Well, you've been a great inspiration coming back to your hometown to be a vet, and I just wanted to tell you happy birthday, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And hope you have many more happy birthdays, and you sent me a picture of food. What's in the box?
We got mountain fries from Mountain Man's.
Oh, you did?
They are really good.
Oh, yeah, they are. Anyway, so, well, anyway, I wanted to take the time. The crowd wasn't very fun today. You only got one call. So we'll just call you live on the radio and have some fun with you. How's that?
Thank you.
All right. Well, happy birthday and have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. I had to do that. She only got one call from the listeners. What's up with you people out there today? All right. Let's check out what's going on with trapping coyotes. Up there in north central Oklahoma, a gentleman by the name of Ron Nichols, he's very popular with the farmers who have livestock up there. Nichols is a nuisance control operator. He has a license from the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation to trap and kill animals that are a nuisance to communities and farmers. Farmers have baby calves being born and coyotes are a threat. And the reason why I brought this story up today is I've had three or four different people tell me that they've caught coyotes trying to get the baby calves and mom spinning in circles to keep them away. And there was a pack of coyotes on my place last week. There were six running together. So that's not good. And, you know, if the moms are having their babies close by with the rest of the herd, they'll protect them. But it don't always work out that way. And I think there's another gentleman out here, West Elk City, has lost four or five calves to wild dogs already. So it is a problem for farmers and ranchers. Farmers have baby calves being born, and coyotes are a threat, Nichols says. So far in January, has trapped and killed 109 coyotes in the Gremlin area up in northern Oklahoma, working for about seven farmers, and they've hired him to protect their cattle. I have great respect for the coyote, but the farmers have to protect their newborn cows. Jared Prell, I think that is, a Prell Land and Cattle Company, uses Nichols to protect his animals. He's trapped 29 coyotes on my farms within a week. He also says he's trying to control coyotes before he took measures. 1 year, he lost 15 babies in a week. Nichols said coyotes usually run in packs and target calves when they are unsure on their own legs. Nichols says that a bounty should be put on coyotes by the state of Oklahoma. I don't think people believe me when I tell them how many I see. Oklahoma wildlife sources say that the numbers in the state are up 768 up to 2,700 estimated by sightings only. The numbers reported by Kansas officials estimate 150,000 to 300,000 coyotes in their state. Nichols has a full-time job at the Oxbow Calisenan, I hope I said that right, near Gremlin, and lives in the area, making it easier for him to manage his second job. This is hard work placing traps, keeping up with records, and taking the animals to a fur collector. Nichols has to verify the animal and check the traps every 24 hours. Some people think it's inhumane, but the traps simply snare a leg and they can continue to get blood flow and can move around. He said it's alarming how many coyotes there are and how close they get to both cattle and homes. Some coyotes live alone, others in pairs, others in packs, and might consist of one mated pair, their new young and offspring from the previous season, and have not yet left their parents. In Oklahoma, it is legal to hunt coyotes. Has an open season year-round for coyotes as long as the hunter has a hunting license. Landowners or agriculture lessees do not need a hunting license when hunting their own property. We do recognize the hard work and great contributions of farmers and ranchers across the state. We are eager to help them take care of wildlife-related issues on their property, says J.D. Strong, director of the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife. I encourage landowners to call their local game warden if they're experiencing problems with coyotes, and we'd be happy to work with those issues with them on things like night hunting permits, depredation permits, or in connecting with the licensed nuisance wildlife control operators. Nichols, he said he also traps bobcats, beaver, badgers, skunks, raccoons, possums, and armadillos. He's up in that area. So anyway, that's a good story. And I use the Department of Oklahoma Agriculture. I use their trappers on coyotes and badgers and hogs. They're doing a great job improving, trying to catch as many hogs as they can down there in Kiowa County forming. And the trappers from Beckman County and Greer County have done a wonderful job. There's only 400 acres on that one place of mine down there in Greer County. And they caught a total of trap in 2 years, 66, I believe was the number last year. And then a friend of mine's been going down there and shooting them this year. So a total almost 80, a little over 80 coyotes have been caught on that 400 acres in the last 24 months. I don't know what it is. I think Greg, the trapper here in Beckman County, says there's a coyote bar there in the middle of my place, and they all go there to congregate to see who they're going to harass, what landowner, whatever. But anyway, that's a lot of coyotes off of just 400 acres. I mean, that's just three quarters by half a mile there. So anyway, it's crazy. So they're doing a good job there. And anyway, you guys get a chance to use them. You can call them and call your local NRCS office, where the Department of Oklahoma Agriculture Department office is, if you're having troubles, because they are trying their best. We got to get these hogs, under control. I don't know that we'll ever do it. And I like to hunt hogs and shoot them and do all that stuff just like anybody else. But I think we need to get them trapped, and we needed to go in there with a couple Apache helicopters and get them all. And anyway, it's a not a good deal. So anyway, you guys run into your local trapper or wildlife, talk to them about it, and thank them for trying and doing a hard job that they are, and appreciate it. So I got a free, I got a text message while ago that, let's see, where are we going? Oh, can you, I got all kinds of text messages I didn't know. Anyway, will you, he said he's going to give me some CK Energy hats from Cordell Binger if it will give his company a shout-out. I'm in. Bring me a hat. Every Thursday's open, so I'm open to wearing any hat that wants a shout-out on Thursdays. And then, let's see, can you tell me when the meeting on the land? Yes, I will. It is. It's at City Hall here next Tuesday in Elk City at 6 o'clock, I believe. I already took it off the deal. But anyway, it's at the City Hall. I will post it on our Facebook page tomorrow also. And you can call, I'll just post it on Facebook tomorrow. I'm going to say it again tomorrow. But it's at City Hall. I think it's 6 o'clock here in Elk City, 6 or 6:30. But anyway, show up at 6 o'clock. You won't miss it on the 3030 land grab. Here we go. Yes, we do. We need to put a golf tournament together at the Sarah Golf Course between North Fork Electric and CK Energy. Dude, you might have chewed off more than you can handle there. They'll do it. And as one person texted in, I've lost over 20 baby goats and 6 calves this year to coyotes in Harmon County. They're the thickest I've seen them in a long time. Have called in state trappers to assist. I think they are, too. I think the coyotes are thick. That day, we got the, was it last week or week before when we got that snow? They were everywhere that next morning. It's been a while since I've seen that many coyotes. Well, I seen that pack of 6 behind my house down there where we're staying. So, yes, I agree. They are very thick. Thank you for texting that in to me. There's a picture here. Let's see what the picture is. Bear with me. I'm being Jimmy today. Not very professional, but I want to see what this picture. Oh, it's just a text. All right. Anyway, one more thing before we go to break. They talked about the tomato spotted wilt virus in the peanut deal at the Georgia's grower deal they had down there 2-3 weeks ago. I tried to get some of you guys to go to the tomato spotted wilt virus. Present in peanuts was widespread in Georgia in 2022, and the University of Georgia Cooperative Extension peanut agronomist Scott Mumford wants his growers to avoid that fate again this season. And I'm just giving, because we got a lot of peanuts in this county and down in Caddo County, just be aware of this. I don't know that we got the problem, but I just want you guys to be aware of this. The virus was the trendy topic during the recent USDA peanut production seminar at the Georgia Peanut Farm Show. He said Mumford discussed the virus and what growers need to do to improve it from last year. and we got in somewhat complacent about what to do. We are planting in April and planting a third of the crop in April. That means that pushes the risk up. He said, for some odd reason, we only have half of our crop that uses the thimet, which is one of the insecticides that improves the resistance to respond to tomato wilt, spotted wilt. We got growers that are not doing this. They're not spraying this. They're not all doing all the recommended agronomic practices that we recommend to reduce this risk. We went up quite a bit in some areas, and hopefully we won't repeat. Who knows? We may be cold all the way through March, and if we are, the virus may not be that bad. But it's like anything else. How much risk are you willing to take? He said, we got a little bit sidetracked here on using products and planting in cooler conditions, and it's a bit hard on us in some areas, and it bit them hard in some areas. Planting date is a vital factor in the potential development of the virus. The lowest risk time frame is peanuts planted after May 10th. But Monfort is the first to say he's not advocating for farmers to plant all their peanuts after May the 10th. Our highest yield potential periods most of the time are between April 26th and May 10th, which is part of the risky area. I say, yeah, if we want the yield potential, why are we not planting at this time? But this disease, he said, is very complex. We can't do one thing and not the other. If you're going to plant in April for that yield potential, you've got to do everything else to minimize that and minimize the virus. If we're not thinking about doing that, then yes, I would think about planting after May 10th. I don't know exactly how many days difference there is between planting peanuts in Georgia and Oklahoma, but I really don't think it's not very far because I know these guys like to get started around May 10th here in western Oklahoma for sure, so it can't be that much different. Monfort also shot down their narrative that the Georgia 06G variety is the reason for the virus's resurgence. He said the whole thing about the OG6 is given out is 100% false. If you look at my variety trials where we do everything right, and some of them we planted early and we lost a little bit compared to mid-May, but if you look at where OG6G is on that list, it's the top three every time. The virus is vectored by thrips, tiny insects that can, tiny insects that can spread the virus by feeding on infected plants. Infected thrips transmit the virus when they move to feed on healthy plants. The virus can dwarf plants and cause significant reductions in peanut yields. Be right back after this with your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Jerusha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
They're built better They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Hello and good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, February 6th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,911 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 425 brought 258. 6 at 581 brought 195. 25 at 685 brought 191. 75 at 699 brought 182. 26 at 770 brought 179.75. 74 at 802 brought 182.50. 5 head of heifers at 320 brought 217. 21 at 475 brought 210. 10 at 504 brought 191. 11 at 659 brought 175. 33 at 791 brought 170.50. 14 at 826 brought 169. 71 at 933 brought 163. Butcher cows were 18 to 100. Butcher bulls brought 91 to 123.50. Bred cows were 1,000 to 1850. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. And sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You guys ain't gonna believe this, but anyway, we'll get to it after the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Hot off the news, off my iPhone during the break. I picked Hollis, Oklahoma, as our forecast Long Ranger for Hobart Farm and Garden today, since we had somebody text in from down there talking about a bad thing with their baby goats and calves. Currently, Hollis is 52 degrees, no wind chill. Humidity is 51. The winds are out of the northeast at 22 miles an hour with wind gust up to 29. Today, partly sunny, 51 degrees tonight. 60% chance of rain showers likely, 27 for a low. Tomorrow, 47 for a high, mostly sunny. Still a little breezy tomorrow out of the north winds. But tomorrow evening, things calm down. It's going to be really chilly down there at 22 degrees and clear. But Saturday, it warms up nicely with no wind, 56 degrees. Sunday, 63. And Monday, 30% chance of rain showers and 59 degrees with the wind out of the east come Monday. So anyway, there's your forecast. All right. So this deal, you know how these news deals pops up on your phone? This one here popped up. Eggs are so expensive, Californians are trying to bring them across the border from Mexico. Border agents said they are seeing more people trying to bring raw eggs across the border from Mexico because of their high cost in California. With eggs price spiking in California, Border Patrol agents have noticed a rise in the number of people trying to bring eggs across the border, which, FYI, is illegal. So don't be golden loading up, heading to Mexico, then you're going to bring a bunch of eggs back over here and jack the price up and sell them around here. Inflation and bird flu have also pushed up egg prices in Mexico, but the cost of a dozen eggs south of the border is way lower than it is, almost half what it is in California. I guess I need to find out what a dozen eggs in California is going from, because I'm sure it's higher than what we got here in the normal state of Oklahoma and Texas. Anyway, they're trying to fill their fridges up with cheaper eggs. That's they are significantly less expensive in Mexico. Oh, man. People, what do you expect? Anyway, anybody went and bought any chickens this week, by the way? I was just wondering if they are. All right, let's check out this, if I can find it. Where is it? Auction. There we go. All right, let's check this out. The crowd in the ballroom of the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo exploded in cheers and astonished squeals as auctioneer John Blair thundered sold on the final item of Friday's auction. These attendees at the annual Salt Lake City auction had just witnessed a record, the chance to hunt one mule deer, a single mule deer this fall on Utah's Antelope Island has just been sold for $500,000, which is $90,000 more than the previous record set back in 2016. The expo crowd barely had a day to consider that a single deer hunt would cost $500,000 before the record was shattered the following night. In the final offering of Saturday's auction, a Nevada man bought the Arizona statewide mule deer tag for $725,000, a sum that is inconceivable as it is astonishing. The guy that paid the $500,000 for the one on Antelope Island in Utah, none other than this big sandwich guru himself, Jimmy John, $500,000. So anyway, next time you buy a Jimmy John sandwich, just remember, you just helped pay for his mule deer hunt in Utah. The buyer of the, maybe it's not important to those who's shelling out this kind of money for this kind of opportunity. In some ways, our attraction for this auction bids is an attraction to celebrity. We may not be fully in the limelight, but we want to be close enough to feel the heat and sense that we are participating in something very large. In case of these auction tags, it's easy to get pulled into the current expectation by the auctioneer's steady rhythm as he navigates. Mr. Jimmy John says he just got the money and he wanted to do it. But this money's going to a good role. It's a lot of money, but it's going to the Mule Deer Foundation, which helps with the Fish and Wildlife Departments and stuff like that. Keep the things going on. It's great. Anyway, in Arizona, that $725,000 raised at Saturday's auction for the statewide deer tag goes to the Arizona Game and Fish for Management and Habitat Projects that will benefit mule deer. And Arizona actually offers two of these statewide tags, which can be used from August 15th of 2023 to August 14th of 2024. That's right. It's a year-long season, which means the recipient can hunt velvet bucks and all kinds of cool stuff. Anyway, I should have went to that auction, but I'm glad I didn't. All I did in was bought me a cold beer and a hot dog and just looked at this in awe. That's a lot of money for a deer tag. All right. What else we got going on here? All right. Ooh, I lost it. Update on Mexico and their GMO corn. Mexico will soon publish a new decree regarding the input of GMO corn that the Mexican Secretary of Economy said will address U.S. concerns on the Mexican action, according to the Rutgers report. The new decree will indicate that if U.S. GMO corn passes sanitarial filters on the Federal Commission for Protection Against That, Sanitaria, it will have no problem entering Mexico. Without specifying a date, they said the economy secretary anticipated a new decree will be published in a few days, which she says will address U.S. concerns and should eliminate the possibility of the U.S. starting a dispute settlement process against Mexico under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. In the new drafting proposal, an article which will include clarity, which will said the transgenic corn will be evaluated by them on a scientific basis, which is our regulatory health authority, blah, blah, blah. And if they prove that there's no harm to health, then it will be approved. If it does not generate any harm, the product is a report. In other words, the president's wife, and I'm not dogging on wives, I'm dogging on her. She's the health freak nut that is doing all this. And so she's wanting her way, and her hubby is the president, and she's trying to go through this deal. I've been studying a lot, and it's all of a sudden he become president, and she's the president's wife. She is going through all this. Anyway, tomorrow the ladies will be in the house. Miss Jancy Repito and Jill Metter will come back in. And maybe I can get this gentleman from CK Energy to call in, and we'll talk about this deal between there and Northport. I don't know. It sounds pretty fun. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. If you guys that know George Green, Larry Browning reminded me this other day, and I said it yesterday. I don't know if you heard it. He always said, "Toulouse, the day in ag with Jimmy Clark." God bless.